Good afternoon. Well, it's really good to have you here. I woke up with a real sense of anticipation that how much the Lord was looking forward to being with this group, speaking to this group, ministering to this group, sharing his body and blood with us. You know, this is not really the message, but this is a reminder of something that was said so insignificant. We looked at this last Thursday, actually, but this is from chapter 3 of John, verse 15, that whoever believes may in him have eternal life. There's a place in John 5 where Jesus talks about, this is an interesting statement, verse 26, for just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. And so, it's not that Jesus gives us eternal life. He says that life is in himself. And so when we believe in Christ, we participate in his eternal life and the life of the age to come, the heavenly life that Jesus lives. When we receive Eucharist, it nurtures that life. It doesn't give us more. We can't get more of Christ. But it nurtures that life in Christ. It nurtures that life that we've been joined to. So that may not make a lot of sense to you, but it's a powerful thing. Jesus said that there were more things that he was going to do. He said that you may marvel. And we'll talk about that more again tomorrow, about the life that Jesus lived that made people marvel. But when Bracken read that scripture today, something just spoke to me. They're really powerful, that what Jesus did at the cross and what a marvel it is, how it makes our life a marvel. I prayed a prayer, and I was praying, Lord, everything that you overcame at the cross on our behalf, may your Holy Spirit apply that to our experience, even today, as we receive the food that nurtures eternal life in us. Then I think about the word again, vicarious. The word vicarious is to do something on someone's behalf, in their place and on their behalf. And so a theological thought throughout church history is about the vicarious life of Jesus. His life, his death, his resurrection and ascension was a vicarious one because he did it in our place and on our behalf. So when I think about the cross, and we've talked about this so much, because Paul talks about it so much, the scriptures talk about it so much, is that vicariously, Scripture says that when Jesus died on the cross, he died as your representative. He died as my representative. He didn't just die for you. In a mystical way, he died as you. That included in his humanity was corporate humanity, corporate fallen humanity. And so let me just read this to you. This is from 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that if one died for all, therefore all died. Everybody knows the passage from Galatians chapter 2. It's a little short version of what, like, the whole chapter of Romans 6 talks about. In the scripture, Galatians 2 says, I am crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So that's kind of Paul's declaration about sort of an overview of Christianity. Not just his Christianity, not just his experience, but Christianity. That we've been crucified with Christ. And we have been crucified with Christ, that Christ himself might be able to live his life through us. Not that we stop living. I like the way the King James says it. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Well, if you're crucified, how can you now be alive? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not me. Yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. Well, I'm there. It's me again. So which one is it? Is it Christ or is it me? Yes. Because what happened in his vicarious death, Jesus died on the cross, not just for us, as I said a minute ago, but he died as us. He took your old self, your fallen, broken old self that wasn't even born into this earth yet. He took fallen humanity into himself, collective fallen humanity into himself, and he died as fallen humanity. He died as Bill. He died as Chuck. He died as Maya. He died as John. He died as you. And in doing that, he took you to the place of execution so that your sin were paid for in his person. You paid for your sin in his person. That's doing something on your behalf, in your place, and on your behalf. That's vicarious. That's the substitutionary death of Jesus. And so you were in him on the cross, and on the cross, the old you died. But you were still in him in his resurrection. And in his resurrection, a whole new you joined to the risen Jesus came alive. And not only that, when his ascension, you ascended, because the scripture says you have been seated in the heavenly places in Christ. And so the old you was crucified in Christ. The old slave to sin, the old condemned sinner. See, because your sins weren't just paid for at the cross, but you were there mystically at the cross in Christ. And it's not that just your sins were paid for, but that was your death in his person. And the sinner was crucified. So that raised up with him, now participating in his life, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives with me and lives in me. So now Christ himself living his life in us and through us as we live surrendered in childlike faith. That's the new self. That's the new you. Now, the interesting thing, there's a place in 1 John, a powerful place, actually, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Whatever is born again of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? What I prayed earlier was, Lord, everything that you overcame in our place, on our behalf, that we today, as we come to receive his body and his blood, that victory would manifest in your life. But see, what happened, here's the truth, is that everything Jesus overcame at the cross, you overcame. And everything that Jesus is now victorious over, you're victorious over. But the victory of overcoming is a result of our walking in faith. For the life that I now live, I live by faith. What did Jesus overcome on your behalf? He died not just for you, he died as you. So the person who struggles with greed or the person who lives with jealousy, Jesus overcame that at the cross, and so did you. Because what he overcame, you overcame. Because he overcame in your name so that you can live now in his name. He overcame as you. His death to lust was your death to lust. His death to bitterness was your death to bitterness. His death to pride was your death to pride. His death to resentment was your death to resentment. His death to anger was your death to anger. His death to control was your death to control. His death to criticalness was your death to criticalness. His death to murmuring and complaining was your death to murmuring and complaining. His death to living an offended life was your death, because he took all that on himself. He took all that you were, all of your sin, all the bad habits. He took the alcoholic. He became that. He became sin on your behalf, scripture says, that you might become the righteousness of God in him. And so that person who struggles with all those things, Jesus overcame all those things. He took them on himself. He died to it, but because you were in him on the cross, you overcame. Now that just sounds too simple. Because we find ourselves as Christians struggling and battling with sin. But the struggle and the battle is to fight the good fight of faith, because Jesus overcame the sin. You overcame the sin in his death at the cross. And now the victorious life that Jesus lives is your life, a life that doesn't live getting offended and being angry and being critical and backbiting and murmuring and complaining, being rebellious and resentful, fearful, whatever. Because he overcame, you overcame. And so I don't have to spend my life, Christian life. Now we grow in this, in discovering and learning. You with me? So there's a growth in my experience, but he accomplished it all at the cross when he said finished. The word finished means, the word tetelestai, which is written here on this altar, means perfect, accomplished, completed. The new creation, that masterpiece was completed in his death, burial, and resurrection. And so instead of us begging God to set us free from bitterness, or set us free from addiction, or set us free from anger, resentment, fear, and childlike faith, he wants us to start thanking him that I've been set free. You became that on the cross and you overcame, but because I was in you, because you did that in my name, in my place, on my behalf, I overcame. Because you overcame as me, for me, I overcame in you. And in childlike faith, I can start walking in that and see its manifestation. That may sound too simple, but again, I'll tell people a lot over the years, we're sheep. Jesus doesn't call us sheep because we're spiritual rocket scientists. Don't try to be smarter than God. He put all the cookies, took them off the top shelf, put them on the counter so all the little children could get to them. If theology isn't distilled down into something that simple, where both the plumber and the professor can experience the good of it, then it's not real theology. Because the truth is supposed to set us free, all of us. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.